morning, everyone. Today's topic, in today's shiur, we're going to consider to what extent Agada is binding and to what extent we can disagree with Chazal. We arrive at this topic when we consider a statement of Chazal that we raised at the end of shiur last week. And that is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, Amr of Katina, Shis Alfei Shanei Havei Alma V'Chad Charov, that the world will exist for 6,000 years and then it will be destroyed for 1,000 years. We saw the Ramban and the Rashba understand that the 6 millennium correspond to the 6 days of creation, and the 7th millennium corresponds to Shabbos, the 7th day. And we saw the Ramchal last week, who understands that the purpose of destruction of the world is because the world was corrupted through sin. So just as the world was corrupted through sin, just like the body which is corrupted by sin has to be regenerated, purified, before it's recreated and the soul and the body could be restored in Olam Haba, so too with respect to the world. That's what we saw last week. So the Ravid raises an objection to the Rambam. Amar Avram, Nira kemakchis she'en ha'olam chozer letohu vavohu, v'akadosh baruch hu mechadish olamo, v'amru shisa alfei shanin havei alma v'chad charav, v'nimtza shu olam chadash. It would seem from the Rambam that he disagrees with the statement of Chazal that the world will be destroyed. Now, the truth is, it's not explicit in the Mishneh Torah, and in fact, there are commentaries on the Mishneh Torah try to argue that the Rambam would agree. However, it is explicit in the Mor Nevuchim that he rejects this view in Chazal. And the question is, can he do this? Under what circumstances can someone disagree with Chazal? Are there any circumstances? Does the Rambam really mean to reject a member of Chazal? This was actually a topic that some of you requested that we consider, so I thought that since we are, this is a perfect example, as we'll see, because the Rambam tells us in the Mor Nevuchim why he feels that it is correct to reject this position, namely the view that the world will be destroyed. However, before we get to the Rambam's actual resolution, let us turn to the supplemental sources that you have, where the Rambam will tell us his general mahalech towards dealing with Agadita. In the Hakdama to the Mor Nevuchim, so it's up here, is the supplemental sheet. If there's anyone that doesn't have, if these ones are not stapled, so you have to take the 2 sheets. This one, if they have a lot stapled, it's not big. Okay. Somebody took the first sheet without the second one. Okay. So let us begin with the Rambam's Hakdama to Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam here discusses 7 types of contradictions that one will find in general. And he writes that contradictions occurring in the writings of most authors and commentators are due to the 6th cause. What's the 6th cause? The 6th cause is that the contradiction is not apparent and only becomes evident through a series of premises. The larger the number of premises necessary to prove the contradiction between the 2 conclusions, the greater is the chance that it will escape detection. Basically, the 6th cause of contradiction is that the author is confused and unaware that there's a contradiction within his work because he's dealing with such complex material. Then he writes, many examples of this class of contradictions are found in the Medrash and Agada. Hence the saying, we must not raise questions concerning contradictions met with in the Agada. You may also notice in them contradictions due to the 7th cause. The 7th cause are intentional contradictions meant to obscure esoteric wisdom that may not be publicized, which is something we talked about in our Hakdama. So at first glance, this statement of the Rambam seems very problematic. He says that you will find contradictions within Chazal, and sometimes, essentially, these contradictions are a result of error. And he says, that's why we say you can't raise contradictions within Haggadah. So where is the Rambam getting this from, and what does he actually mean? The source that is frequently associated with this position is the Yerushalmi in Maseches Peah, which writes, Rabbi Zeira b'shem Shmuel, Ein lemeidin min halachos, lo min halachos, ve lo min hagados, ve lo min atosafos, ela min atalmud. So one may not learn from three things, halachos, agados, and Talmud. This is really coming off of the previous statement. So what do these three things mean that we may not learn? So halachos means, according to the Gran, the Pnei Moshe, that we don't apply the principles that emerge from Halachal Moshe Misinai in new cases. Meaning to say, Ein Lemeidin, we don't extrapolate from Halacha Lemoshe Misinai. According to the Rosh Tzir Leo, based on the Rashbam and Bava Basra, this means we don't necessarily follow statements such as statements in the Mishnah that say Halacha Kaploni, Ein Lemeidin Mehem. Meaning to say there are times where the Gemara will not necessarily paskin like a statement Halacha Kaploni. Okay, so that's relatively uncontroversial. We'll look at the third one, which is also simpler. Ein lemeidin min atosafos, that means we don't learn from the Tosefta. And many understand this means that we don't follow the Tosefta in the event that it contradicts the Talmud. So what about the middle statement? Ein lemeidin min hagados. We don't learn from Agada. What is meant by that? So some understand this means that we don't derive halachic rulings from Agada. And, for example, the Noda B'Yehuda, the Tosfos Yantif, both take this approach, and they explain why is it that we don't learn halachic material from Agada, because the purpose of Agada is not to teach us halacha, but rather it's to teach us things like Musar and ethical teachings, and therefore the purpose is not to teach halacha, so we don't actually derive halacha lemaisa from Agada. Others, including the Pri Chadash, the Mayim Chaim, which is cited by Rabbi Akiva Eger, there's a long tshuva from Rav Avadia Yosef where he argues in favor of this position, say it just means, like we said for Tosefta, we don't learn from Agada in the event that the Agadic source contradicts a halachic source. But otherwise, we can learn from Agadic statements, and you'll see that in many Shilos of Shuvos, this issue of whether we could bring a raya from an Agadic statement or not is discussed. So according to both positions, however, this is not meant to deride Agada in any sense. Agadic material is authoritative to the extent that that's possible regarding non-halachic matters. And when the Gemara says, Ein lemeidin min agados, it simply means that we don't necessarily derive halacha from Agada, but not that it's any less binding. However, there are a number of statements made by the Gaonim that seem to imply otherwise. We'll just take a couple of them. Rav Haigon wrote, Havayodim ki divrei agada lav kishmuahem, ela kol echa doresh ma she'ala alibo, kigon efshar v'yesh lomar, lo davar chatuch, lefikach ein somchen alayen. Essentially, what Rav Haigon is saying is that the statements in the Agada are not like a Shmua, meaning to say they're not a received tradition. Now, this is important to remember in light of the Gaonim's position concerning Torah Shebaal Peh. There is a major question, which we'll deal with later on in the year, Ezra Hashem, concerning how we deal with debate within the Talmud. Why is it that there is so much machlokas? And the position taken by most of the Gaonim is that machlokas is a result of forgetfulness and errors in transmission. They derive this, among other things, from the statement in the Gemara that says that the reason why there is so much machlokas between Talmidei Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, or Talmidei Shammai and Hillel, is because lo shimshu kehogen, lo shimshu kol atzorach. And therefore, according to the Gaonim, all machlokas results from forgetting and transmissional errors. So what the Gaonim here are saying is that that is true with respect to halachic matters. However, when it comes to matters of agada, they are lav kishmua. These are things that are made up. Later on, again, when we return to this topic, we'll see that there are those, including the Rambam, who disagrees with the Gaonim in this respect. The Rambam understands that machlokas, generally speaking, is not with respect to things for which there was a transmission or a tradition. That concerning things that there was a tradition, like halach l'moshe m'sinai, there is no machlokas. Machlokas in Shas always relates to novel things, new interpretations, new drashos, and the like. However, the Gaonim, as I said, believed that all machlokas, that everything, all parts of every aspect of the law was given to Moshe from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And thus, in statements like this, the Gaonim are saying that's true with respect to matters of halacha, but not necessarily true with matters of agada. Rather, concerning matters of agada, kol echad dorish masha'ala libo, each of the chachamim was doresh presumably meaning they interpreted the psukim in a way that they thought made sense, but basically they made it up, and therefore ein somchin aleihem. Likewise, Rosh Riragon writes, Hani mili dinafki mipsuke umikrai medrash vagada umdina ninhu. Lachain ein somchin alagada ein v'amru ein lemeidin min agados. In other words, Rosh Riragon is basing this concept on the statement that we saw in the Yerushalmi of ein lemeidin min agados. So as opposed to the first understandings that we saw, which limited ein lemeidin min agados to refer to halachic material, here we're saying ein lemeidin min agados, meaning to say they're somehow less authoritative. V'nachon mehem mashim eschazik min ha-sefer chalu min ha-mikra. So if it makes sense intellectually, logically, as well as from sukkim, so then nekabel mehen v'ein sof etich lel agados. Likewise, Rosh Shmuel HaNagid wrote, some say this was also written by Rosh Riragon, v'agada hu kol peira shiyavo b'talmud al shem inyan shelo yiyya mitzvah zui ha-agada v'ein lecha lomod mimena elema shiyala al adas v'yesh lecha al adas shekol mas shekimu chazal halacha b'inyan mitzvah shi mi pi Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom shekibal mi pi ha-gvura ein lecha lehosif v'lo ligra mimenu. So these things, as we said, they don't have a tradition. They were made up. When it comes to halacha, we can't add nor detract. Aval ma shepirshu b'psukim kol echad kafi mashin is damein lo masha ra'o bedato. The way they interpret the psukim, according to that which they see fit, ulafi masha yala al adas min ha-perushim ha'elu lom b'mosom, fashar ein somchan mehem. So again, what makes sense we accept, and otherwise ein somchan alayan. So the Rambam, in the statement that we saw from his introduction to the guide, seems to accept this point of view, and that's why he says that you'll find contradictions in matters of agada due to error, basically, as well as due to intentional contradictions to hide secrets, but also due to error. And he says that we don't raise questions on agada. There are other statements of the Rambam that might indicate he supports the Gaonic view. One is a Tshuvas HaRambam, El Pinchas HaDayan. He writes, Ule'inyan Yotzei Teva, right, he's referring to the Gemara concerning how the animals left the Teva. Kol Osan Advarim Divrei Haggadah Hein, Ve'en Makshin Be'Haggadah, V'chol Divrei, V'chi Divrei Kabbalah Hein, Omili Desvara, Ela Kol Echad, Ve'achad me'inyan me'ayin be'pasuk fima she'yirah lo v'yesh b'zeh v'ein b'zeh divrei kabbalah, etc., etc. Again, seeming to be very similar to the Gaonic view. However, the truth of the matter is that the Rambam's view, as is often the case, is not so simple at all. And perhaps even the Gaonic view is not so simple. We'll see that there are many who don't understand those statements in the Gaonim as they appear superficially. If we have a chance, we will consider other understandings of those statements. But certainly, the Rambam's position isn't clear, as we'll see in one moment. Yeah.
Rather than maybe the Gaonim assuming that just you can be smarter, quote unquote, than Chazal, like, it doesn't make sense to us, so therefore we should just like forget about it. Kind of interesting.
It sounds like he's saying that, right? It does. So that's what we're going to see, that, again, first with the Rambam, and then maybe if we have a chance with the Gaonim, that it's not so simple. But again, the Rambam's position here is nuanced and complex, and a lot of times misunderstood. Yeah?
How does this play over to, like, story day and Tanakh?
Doesn't. Oh, in terms of halacha, no, that's possible. I mean, how you deal with, it's another discussion, how you deal with stories, or for that matter, even psukim in Tanakh that seem to contradict halacha. And the truth is, when it comes to these types of stories, we at least have some types of models, because the Gemara frequently deals with these issues. For example, the contradictions concerning the laws of Kohanim between the book of Yechezkel and Parshas Amor and the like. So there's certainly perhaps some overlap, but it does have to, certainly we can't, the simplistic reading of the Gaonim's dismissive attitude is certainly not plausible when it comes to those types of stories, but as I said, even within the Gaonim's view, we'll see. So that's a separate topic, I'll say for now. Okay, so let's again, before you ask questions, let's try to explain what the Rambam really means. So let's turn back for a moment to the Rambam's Hakdama to Mor Nevuchim. And the Rambam here writes a very interesting thing. He writes that when he was young, he was planning on writing a book where he's going to explain problematic agadic statements. In fact, in his Perush on the Mishnah, he tells us of his intentions to write such a book. And he says that after a while, he stopped. And the reason is as follows. I'll read from the underlined text. V'reinu od shadrasho sahem im ya'ayin bam seichel mehamon harabanim lo yiksha alav mehem me'uma. He writes that when people see problematic statements in Chazal. What he means by problematic is primarily statements that are philosophically problematic. Among other things, they may include statements that include great exaggerations or anthropomorphisms or other problematic ideas. So most people, he says, most rabbis, when they see such statements in Chazal, they aren't bothered at all. The fact that the Medrash describes things that are impossible doesn't bother them, because they have no objection to impossible things happening. What about if someone who studied science and philosophy studies these? So then one of two things will happen. Im sheyikchem kimashma'am v'yachshov ra be'omer v'yachshavu l'sachal v'ein b'zeh stira liyisodei hamuna. Option A is that this educated person is going to see midrashim that are philosophically or scientifically problematic, and they're going to dismiss them. They're going to say, ah, these are just stories, they're silly, and they will dismiss the medrash. And while the Rambam understands that this is a very bad attitude, in fact, when he discusses this in his Hakdama to Perka Chelek, he says this second attitude is even worse than the first attitude. At least the first attitude, though they're totally misguided, respect Chazal. The second attitude is even more foolish because they reject Chazal. But at the same time, even though it's true that this attitude is misguided, and possessed tirol yisodei ha'emuna. It's not heretical. So it's mistaken. someone who is dismissive of Midrashim due to his perception that he knows much more than Chazal, he knows science, he knows philosophy, Chazal were stupid, look at these stories. So that is a very foolish attitude, but it's not a heretical attitude. And then the third group of people go ahead and they say, Oh, sheyasim lahem toch, v'kvar natzel, v'yachshov tov al ha'omer, yisba'er lo ha'toch, shebimamar ha'hu, o lo yisba'er. Either they'll go ahead and they'll see something deep within this medrash. They'll see that there's an omek here, that it shouldn't be understood superficially. They'll derive wisdom from it. Or, if they don't understand it, they'll say, there must be some hidden message here, and it's simply a message that I don't understand. So, basically, their response will be, I don't understand this medrash. They won't take it literally like the first group. They won't be dismissive like the second group. Rather, either they'll offer a deeper interpretation or they will simply acknowledge their ignorance. He says that this third group, of course, is the correct group, and that is what our attitude should be. But he says, this is the reason why I didn't bother writing this book, because the book is not so necessary with respect to the first group of people that are happy with a little literal reading. They will not be helped by my book anyway, because they're not bothered by the problems in the first place. With respect to the third group of people, they already know what to do. And while I'll help them a little bit by teaching them a little bit better how to interpret Midrashim, it's not pressing. And the second group of people, while they are making an error, it's not heretical, and therefore the need for such a book is not pressing. And therefore, he writes, I decided to write a book instead where I deal with the philosophically problematic psukim, which is really what the Mor Nevuchim is meant to be. You see this especially in the first section, but really throughout. The purpose of the book, the Rambam writes, is to teach us how to deal with psukim, which are problematic. Now, that is much more pressing, he says, because if we are dismissive of psukim, that is heretical. And if we misunderstand the psukim by reading them literally, so that too is heretical. Someone believes, for example, in the corporeality of God. And therefore, he writes that I decided instead of writing a book on Chazal, that I'm going to write a book on Psukim. That's what the Rambam writes in his Mor Nevuchim. More or less, he presents the same idea in in his Hakdama to Perek HaChelek, Ayin Sham. And we see here the Rambam's approach to Chazal, and especially to problematic Midrashim, is that they should be treated with respect. If they are problematic, they should be understood as conveying a deeper message, and that the attitude of rejecting them is a foolish attitude. The Rambam's son, Rabbi Avram, in his introduction to the study of Agadita, which is printed at the beginning of Ein Yaakov, echoes his father's sentiments in this regard and offers numerous examples of how to actually properly and correctly interpret problematic Midrashim. So first of all, we see here, as well as many other places, that the Rambam shows great respect for the opinions of Chazal. He believes that a problematic Midrash shouldn't be rejected, but rather understood properly. We actually saw an example of this, I don't want to return to it, when we did the Sugya of free will, and we saw how the Rambam dealt with the statements that in his letter to Avadya Hager concerning Arbaim Yom Kodim Yetzir Savlad Bas Ploni Laploni, Ayin Sham. But there too, he basically said we can't understand this Kipshuto, because that would be problematic, and he offers a different explanation. So that's part one. The Rambam tells us that the way to learn Midrashim is by offering respect, not being dismissive, and looking for a deeper meaning when the simplistic meaning is problematic. Generally speaking, the Rambam goes to great lengths to show that his conclusions in the guide are derived from Chazal. And this is especially true with respect to his most controversial views. Let's just take two examples. One is his position, which we mentioned a couple months ago in chapter 54 of the third section of the guide, concerning the superiority of intellectual achievements and knowing God, and that that is superior to observance of mitzvos. And there, if you recall, the Rambam quoted Bereishis Rabbah, Parshas Noach, Perek Lamed Hei, which he said is an example of Chazal saying his very theory. The Medrash there said, Kasav Echad Omer V'chol Chafatzim Lo Yishvu Ba, V'Kasav Echad Omer V'chol Chafatzecha Lo Yishvu Ba, Chafatzim Elu Mitzvos U'Ma'asim Tovim, Chafatzecha Elu Avanim Tovim Argalo Yos, and da da da. Chafatzai v'chafatzecha lo yishbu ba, and that's the meaning of the pasuk ki im bezosis halal hamishalal haskel v'adoa osi, that intellectual understandings is better than chafatzecha, is better than mitzvos. Another example, and there are really many, I'll just bring one other, is concerning Rambam's position, which we'll see later on, Be'ezras Hashem, that there are times that the details of mitzvos don't have a purpose, they're merely meant to instill obedience. So the Rambam here too quotes a medrash which is found in Vayikra Rabba Perek Yud Gimel and Tanchuma Shmini Perek Zayin, that v'chi ma ichpas la kadosh baruch hu im shochet min atzavar o shochet min ha'oref have lo nitnu mitzvos el atzarif ben habrio. So again, in the examples of, when we look at the examples of Rambam's quote-unquote big chidushim in the Mor Nevuchim, he tries and frequently does quote Chazal. So I think that when you read, let's say, the Mor Nevuchim, you see that the Rambam should not be seen as simply stooping Greek philosophy into Torah. On the contrary, he tries to show that his positions, which are oftentimes in consonance with Greek philosophy, are in fact derived from Torah sources themselves. He sees himself as a continuation of the legacy of Chazal and not forcing something foreign onto and upon the Torah. Nevertheless, the Rambam acknowledges that there are times when his position seems to be at odds with Chazal. And at such cases, Rambam does not simply state that we have the right to disagree with Chazal, on rather, even though these matters are not necessarily normative, there's no halachic implications. Instead, what he does, and we'll see right now four examples of this, is to show that the view in Chazal that he's rejecting is actually a minority view. This is an interesting point parenthetically, because generally speaking, when we refer to majority view and minority view, and acharav and lahatos, we're talking about halachic matters. And another time we'll talk about the notion of psak in Agada, and we'll consider what these types of statements have to say about that. But for now, we'll ignore that point, and we'll focus on the Rambam's position. So basically, what the Rambam does is, when there's a, and again, four examples we'll see shortly, a philosophically problematic statement in Chazal, he'll say, yes, Chazal say it, I'm not going to reread Chazal, but it's a das yachid, and therefore we don't accept that view. Now, this view, this perspective, sometimes proves controversial, because it's not always clear how the Rambam knew that the majority view disagrees. It's not like there's a medrash that says Rebbe X says this, v'chachamim omrim this, and the Rambam's saying, oh, I'm paskening like the chachamim. Generally speaking, the view that he says is minority is presented as the stam opinion. And to appreciate that, let's begin with the examples. And the first example we're going to consider is the one which we began discussing last week. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, as we saw last week, says, Dav Tzadi Zayin Amar Aleph, Amrav Katina Shis Alfe Shanei Havi Alma V'chad Charov. We saw that the Ravid says, it seems like from the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam's rejecting that view. And in fact, in the guide, section 2, Chapter 29, Rambam explains that the reason why he rejects this view is because it is the saying of an individual that corresponds to a certain manner of thinking. It's a das yachid, which we reject. The Rashba, Tshuvos Chelek Aleph Siman Tes rejects this. He says, "V'ein anu roim b'talmud cholek alav." There is no one in the Gemara that argues. How could you call something a das yachid when it's a memra in Gemara with no dispute? The truth is, it might be. So if you look at Rosh Hashanah, Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph, Rabbi Nechemya may disagree. Not if you read it like Rashi. Maybe. So maybe there is an opinion. But still, where's the Rambam getting it from? And the truth is that, as we see in a moment, the Rambam tells us why he is rejecting this view. I'll just mention, though, some other examples of this. This is very reminiscent of the Maharal's critique against the Rambam's understanding of Shiluah HaKein. If you recall, the Rambam writes that we'll start with the Gemara. The Gemara writes, "Omer al kan sipor yagiu rachamecha mishaskin oso mipnei sheosin midosav shal kadosh baruch hu rachamim ve'enam el gzeiros." This is on the top of page 3 in your Makoros. What does this mean? Rashi says, "Hainu lahatil al Yisrael chukei gzeiros av lodiya lahem avada shem avada v'shomer mitzvos av gzeiros ve." Gzeros chukosav, af bedvarm shiyesh lasatan umos haolam lahashiv alein velomar matzorech b'mitzvazu. So the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, you see it right here below, essentially says that the reason for the prohibition or for the mitzvah of shiluach hakein is to prevent pain to the animal, right? Essentially, an explicit, seemingly at least, an explicit rejection of Chazal say mishaskin oso, and the Rambam rejects it. But again, he has to deal with the issue of the Gemara, right? He's arguing against the Mishnah. So looking towards the bottom, when in the Talmud, you see it three lines from where the bottom, when in the Talmud, those are blamed who use this in their prayer, the phrase, it is the expression of one of two opinions. It's a machlokas mentioned by us, namely that the precepts of the law have no other reason but the divine will. We follow the other opinion. So the Maharal is very bothered by this. This is in Tiferes Yisrael, Perek Vav. The Maharal writes, this is a Stam Mishnah, and there's no machlokas. How could the Rambam say that this is a das yachid that we reject? Simply one of two opinions. Not a das yachid, one of two opinions. We accept the other opinion. But there's no machlokas in the Mishnah. So what gives the Rambam the right? To complicate matters in this case, in Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam does paskin it. And there are different approaches to resolving that. If you look at the Tosfos Yontif on the top of page 4, he said, "Dafka b'tfila, kishomer b'tfila machlit hadavar. Ulahachi mishaskin oso mashein kein derech drash opshat." This means that the Rambam believes that it is essential, or it is important, it is valuable to offer tamei mitzvos. As he famously writes at the end of Hilchos Me'ilah, that a person's attitudes towards mitzvah shouldn't just be, these are gzeiros hamelech and I'm going to do them without understanding. Rather, to the extent possible, a person should seek to try to understand. And when he encounters something that he doesn't understand, his attitude towards it shouldn't be that resembles attitude towards secular matters, where you simply dismiss things that don't make sense. Rather, you should do them, recognizing that they're coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu and they have a purpose, and they're for our sake. But nevertheless, the Rambam maintains that we should seek to understand the purpose of mitzvos. However, and in fact he does this, in the third section of the guide, he offers reasons for all of the mitzvos. However, the Rambam also understands that the reasons that he offers, and especially with respect to chukim, are speculative and incomplete. And that being the case, to insert the reason into tefillah is inappropriate. Be that as it may, though, focusing on what he says in the guide he says that this is one of two opinions and we reject that opinion. The third example of this phenomenon concerns Yisurin Shel Ava. In Mor Nevuchim, he writes, this is the second source on page 4, Avanachnu namin shekol eila hanyanim ha'anoshiyim hem kefi hadin, meaning to say there's justice. Ve'al ze das hadas nimshechu divrei hamon chachameinu sha'ata timtzeim omrim b'viur ein misa b'lo chet v'lo yisurim b'lo avon v'chulei. This is the general approach you see in Chazal, where Chazal tell us that there is justice with statements like people are only die or experience Yisurin if they sin. Uva b'divrei chachamim tosefes achas shelo ba b'mesher kasev b'torah v'hu ma'amar k'tzasam Yisurin shalava. The way the Rambam understands Yisurin shalava, not everyone agrees to this. If you take a look at the Ramban, for example, in the Shar Gemul, he rejects this understanding of Yisurin shalava. But the Rambam understands Yisurin shalava to mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes a person or causes them to suffer in order to give them more schar. And therefore they're a form of ahava, meaning to say God causes a person to suffer in this world so that he'll have more olam haba in the next world. And the Rambam says that this is a minority view, which we reject. So again, even though when you look at the Gemara and Brachos over there, you don't get the appearance that this is the minority position, the Rambam tells us that this position, that there's such a thing as Yisur and Sha'ava, that's a minority position. And finally, the fourth example of this phenomenon can be seen in the letter that he wrote to the Chachamim of Marseille. This was a letter that primarily concerns astrology. It was written actually after he wrote the Mor Nevuchim. They wrote him a letter concerning astrology. He says to them, well, I see you didn't even get my Mishnah Torah, because otherwise you wouldn't have such a question. Hopefully you'll get it soon, and in the meantime, let me answer your questions. And in this letter, he categorically rejects the notion of astrology. And over the course of the letter, he has to deal with an obvious problem, which is that there are some statements in Chazal that seem to support the notion of astrology. So he writes, V'da'atenu ala me'ikarehi, shekol divrei hachozim b'kochavim sheker heimetzel kol ba'alei mada, anyone who knows a little bit of science will realize that it's bogus. Vani yodea she'afshar chetit besu v'timtzu divrei yechidim echach mehaemes rabuseinu aleihem shalom b'tumud v'mishno v'midrashos she'divrei hamarim she'be'es toldos shel adam garmu ha'kochavim kach v'kach. There's statements in Chazal that seem to imply that certain things happen to certain people because of the mazel they were born in or the like. Al yiksha zeb einechem, shein derech shenaniach halacha lemaisa, v'nahadar apirchi v'shinuyei, v'chein ein roi l'adam l'haniach dvarim sheldash shekvar nis'amtu harayos bahen, v'yina'er kapav mehen v'yitle b'divrei yachid menachachamim aleim ha'shalom. It's not appropriate to simply dismiss wisdom that could be proven and to accept a das yachid among the chachamim. So again, he's doing the exact same thing as we've seen in the previous three instances. He cites a view in Chazal, which he sees as problematic, especially based off of science and philosophy, and he says, oh, that's just a das yachid. She'efshir nis'alim imenu davar ba'os ha'shah, how could the Chachamim say such a foolish thing? Maybe they temporarily forgot something. Oh, sheyesh be'osam dvar miyamis. Here he has for us another option, something we considered before, that maybe the statements concerning astrology are actually teaching something deeper, a remez. Oh, amram lefi sha'a umaysa shaya. Maybe it was a harasha. The Rambam actually says an interesting thing. The Rambam writes, talk about this maybe when we learn the sugya of Mashiach, Rambam writes at length that it's usher to offer a ketz, right? Like Chazal themselves say, you can't. It's usher to say or calculate when the ketz is. And then he writes in the letter to the Jews of Teiman, but Rasadiagon wrote a ketz. So he says two explanations as to how he could. Oh no! So he says, what's the reason why? How could Rasadiagon have done that? He says, maybe it was a rasha. I think what he means is that he was responding to a situation. Perhaps people were having yeyush concerning the coming of Mashiach. They were losing hope and the like, and therefore, to give them chizuk, he violated the halacha and was machashev aketz. So here he says a similar thing. He writes that maybe Chazal said these things, lafisha, was a harasha, but not that this is their true position either. Now, in all four cases that we've seen, it's basically logical arguments that are a major factor in his rejection of one view in Chazal. A. B. In all cases, a superficial reading of the statements in Chazal indicates that the views that the Rambam is rejecting is in fact the dominant view and not the minority view, as the Rambam claims. So what is the Rambam doing? So I think the Rambam here is telling us a very important idea, and especially when it comes to dealing with Midrashim. In all these cases, the basis of the majority view is not necessarily single, solitary, isolated statements, which the Rambam attributes to a minority view, but rather, when you look at psukim, and when you look at Chazal more broadly speaking, one comes to the conclusion that these isolated statements are indeed isolated and not reflective of Chazal's broader view. And we'll see this when we consider all four of the above examples. When he comes to, for example, his rejection of Yisurin Shel Ava. So how does Rambam prove it? He quotes many psukim and many ma'amarim which emphasize God's justice and kindness. And since the idea of punishing a person so they'll get more reward is not just, so therefore it can't be the predominant view. When it comes to his rejection of the position that the position in the Mishnah that Ha'omer al kan tzipor yagiru rachamech mishaskeno, so he proves it by citing many sources in Chazal where we see Chazal themselves offer reasons for mitzvos, and their attitude towards mitzvos isn't these are gzeros vein lecha rishus lahar herachareihem, but rather their attitude is let's try to understand the reasons for mitzvos and even for chukim. When it comes to his rejection of our topic, the idea that the world will be destroyed, so here too, besides quoting philosophical proofs, which we'll consider in one moment, the Rambam, again, turns to statements in Chazal and psukim. The Rambam writes in the guide, 229, you have this in the original source book, the notion towards which we are deriving that has already been made clear, namely that the passing away of this world, a change of the state in which it is, or a thing's changing in its nature, and with the permanence of this change, are not affirmed in any prophetic text or in any statement of the sages either. And he goes ahead and he says that when we look at psukim, we see that it is not possible for the world to be destroyed. Among other things, he quotes two psukim from Koheles, Masha haya hu sheyeh u masha na'asa hu sheyeh'aseh ve'en kol chadash tachas ha'shemesh, and yadati ki kol asher Ya'aseh ha'elokim hu yihyeh li'olam, that which the world, God created the world, hu yihyeh li'olam, it will be eternal, it won't be changed. So the Rambam also shows that the idea of a permanent change implies deficiency to the original state of being, which would somehow imply that the works of God are imperfect and the like. But so there's philosophical and logical reasons for his rejecting this view, this Das Yachid. But it's also based off of psukim and other ma'amarim in Chazal. Meaning to say, what the Rambam is saying is the following. Even though, in all four cases, a cursory reading of Chazal indicates that Chazal took one position, that emerges when we consider solitary statements of Midrashim, which sometimes are a reflection of minority views. However, when we consider the matter broadly, when we look at the Torah's broad and total viewpoint, we're left with a very different conclusion. And thus, the Rambam basically says that when it comes to matters of Agadah, matters of Machshava, matters of philosophy, we can't look at Chazal narrowly. A person could find a medrash to support just about anything they want to support. And he's saying, therefore, that our attitude has to be that we look at the Torah broadly. We look at the totality of Makoros. And yes, it's true, in this particular medrash, this might be the only opinion cited. But that doesn't necessarily mean that this is the dominant view within Chazal or within the Torah. When the Rambam said earlier in his Hakdama to the Mar Nevuchim that there are times that there are contradictions within Chazal, and there are in fact times that some of the Chachmei Emes make mistakes. So that's true. But we are to look to Chazal to form the basis of our viewpoint. The Rambam, in that letter that I quoted before, writes about there are three sources for knowledge. One is the intellect, one is the physical senses, and one is Mesora. And in arriving at the truth, you have to use all three. And if you forsake one of those sources, then you'll end up with an erroneous viewpoint. So if you consider only the Mesora without subjecting it to the intellect, then you'll not only be wrong, but you'll have an incorrect understanding of the Mesora. You have to think. You have to recognize that many memras of Chazal are not to be taken at face value. And you also have to understand that not every opinion in Chazal reflects the dominant view. So, taking everything together, I think what emerges is tremendous respect by the Rambam for Chazal and for Midrashic statements of Chazal and Agadic statements of Chazal and the like. I don't think we'll have time to return back to the Gaonim and what they actually meant, whether they meant this or not. But it's certainly not a dismissive attitude in any sense. I'd like to just take a look at a couple of statements from the Maharal on page 4 concerning Agadah. And surprisingly, there's a lot of confluence between him and the Rambam. A lot of times the presentation you'll see in essays and the like is Rambam versus Maharal on Agadita. The truth of the matter is that there's a lot of overlap, as we'll see in a moment. The statements over here, among other things, are from Maharal's Baragola, which is to a large degree a defense of Chazal, specifically against the attacks of people like Azariah de Rossi, who, among other things, used those statements that we saw earlier from the Gaonim to support his dismissive attitude towards Chazal. So let's begin. So we're on page 4, where it says Sefer Baragola. Hatluna. I'll start a little earlier. I don't think I put this in properly. Okay. Oh, I see. Okay. Hatluna Hashishis. This is from Perek Aleph. I seem to have omitted this from your source sheets. I'm sorry. Hatluna Hashishis Be'amram, ki haya ne'alam min meham chachma anoshis. The sixth complaint that these people have against Chazal is basically that they didn't study science. Ve'achachmo she'amru aleihem she'dibru behem zaris hi chachma tivis ve'chachma limudis. We described this a little bit earlier, a couple months ago, where he basically claims that the misunderstanding of Chazal is based off of the assumption that Chazal are coming to give scientific explanations for physical phenomena, and that's wrong, because the purpose of Chazal is not to explain things scientifically, it's to teach us the deeper meaning, the reason behind the reason, and therefore it's not true that they simply misunderstood. And he gives numerous examples, the rainbow, when we talk about Ramache Varav Ushasagidav, and so on and so forth. And then he writes, turns to the question of what did the Gaonim mean when they stated these statements. So this is where you have it from a Perek Tesvav. Ki Gaon Zal Ba Lomar She'al Yomar Ki Kasher Darshu Min HaMikra V'Heim Be'emes Rechokim Min HaMikra V'Al Zeh Amar Ki Heim Umdina Wrote to Lomar Hasvara Mechayev Zeh Rak She'samchu HaInyan Al HaKasov V'im lo haya hadas v'hasvara m'chayev osam, lo hayu darshin osam min ha-mikra. What do the Gaonim mean when they call the statements of Agada umdina? What he means is the following. When you see a medrash, and the midrashic interpretation of the psukim seems far-fetched, meaning to say that it does not have strong textual support, so you could know that the basis of the psuk, of their idea is not actually the pasuk. It's like a chassidish avartlach, right? Chassidish avartlach, the rabbi isn't coming to the idea from his taitch of the psukim. He had the idea, which he thought was a true and good idea, and somehow he sees them in the psukim. So the Maral says, when you see midrashic interpretations of psukim, that again seem to be far-fetched from the simple understanding of the psukim, they don't have textual support, he's saying that you can know that the chachamim that stated these ideas arrived at the ideas on their own, because the seichel's mechayev them, hasvar mechayev zeh, virak shesamchu al akasav, something like a asmachta when it comes to halachic matters. An asmachta is not the... You don't arrive at the conclusion based off of the psukim. You start with the conclusion and you see an allusion in the text. Vim lo haya hadas vasvar mechayev osam, lo haya darshim osam in apsukim. Ironically, the less compelling a interpretation is within the pasuk, the more compelling it is, it has to be intellectually, because they're clearly not getting it from the psukim. Vizel lashon umdana ninhu, pashatu. V'gam lo marbrei de ravina chasam al hamilsa shiasa ish hazad davar zeh rosh v'tachlis l'dvarav liplos b'ilan gadol b'chav le'shav. The Maral then turns to De Rossi's proof that the Gemara doesn't value Agadita from a statement in the Yerushalmi that says someone who writes Agadita has no portion, and the Maral responds to this by saying it's not meant to be disparaging, it's referring to the prohibition against recording the oral law. And then he turns to the statement we saw before of Rav Nisim Gaon. Umasha kasav harabeinu Nisim Gaon besof brachos amaisa de uvatamya hamilsa gadatahi v'chol de damya lay amru rabbanan ein somachan al divrei agada. So De Rossi understood that Rabbeinu Nisim acknowledged that Medrash does not present profound wisdom, but is just an oratorical tool to capture the attention of the audience. And the Maral rejects this, and he says this is what he means to say. Rak shirotza lomar she'ein lismoch al divrei agada lefarish agada kepshuta. We shouldn't be somech al divrei agada means to say to understand it simply. Like the Rambam that we saw earlier, Maral warns against understanding Midrashim literally. And in fact, he writes, that's what Chazal mean when they say Ein Meshivin Vagada. V'zeu be'atzmo mash amru Ein Meshivin Vagada. Again, that was the statement that we saw the Rambam quote in his Hakdama to the Mor Nevuchim. How does the Maral explain it? Ki efshar ha'omer osa amru al derech ne'alam. Perhaps the statement was intended in some secretive manner. As we know, Chazal hid esoteric wisdom within the Agada. Ulefikach ein meshivin alein ve'ein makshin osa ve'ein makshin bagada kepshuta. You can't ask a kasha from them. Let me explain. Let's imagine I have a machlokes about someone on a matter of halacha, and they ask me a kasha from a gemara. The gemara is against me. So either I have to defend myself and somehow answer the kasha, or I'll have to admit that I'm wrong. You could ask a kasha. But when it comes to the matters of agada, the Maharal says, you can't ask a kasha. I have a theory. You show me a medrash that's against my theory, so I could respond. Maybe that medrash is not to be understood simply. I don't have to respond. I could say, I don't understand what that medrash is saying. Ein meshivin min agada. Ein meshivin min agada doesn't mean what De Rossi said, namely, that they're not valuable, or they're not deep, or they're not significant. It means that because they are not necessarily meant to be understood, kepshutam, you can't ask a kasha from them. Or you can't derive halacha from them. And that's what he says. Bish lama bedavar halacha v'din, hare ein roi lifsok din, elim kein ein alav shum stira, vim yesh alav stira, ein roi lasos alav maiso lefikach yesh lahakshos, aval davar kezeh. When it comes to an agadic matter which has no halachic ramifications, lo iser v'lo heter, ein lahakshus v'listor hamamar, ki ulai lo yimtza teretz, v'yistor hamamar, ad sheyebatel, umistama einu kasha, ki lo ta'a baal hamamar. This idea of the Maral, again, is very similar to what we saw in the Rambam. That's not to say that Maral and Rambam are identical in general or in matters of agada, but in terms of their great respect to the Balia Masora, even when it comes to matters of Agada, they shared that respect. And their attitude was very similar in the sense that you can't ask a kasha on a theory which you could prove from the consensus, because again, statements of Chazal might not be meant kepshutam, like the Rambam and the Maral said, or like we saw in the Rambam, because they may reflect the Das Yachid. Have a good Shabbos. I should end. I'll take your questions personally. I'm sorry?